I was talking to Rochelle about the message today, and we were just chatting a little bit about that beforehand. Today's message is going to be kind of, you probably won't notice any difference, but it's kind of, I'm going to tell a story today. And the theme of this story is, what on earth is going on, or what in the world is going on? I reckon that's a great title, because I thought of that. Amen. And so I want to answer that question, what in the world is going on? And the motivation behind this is, you know, I feel God's Spirit speaking to me. I don't get spooky about that. It's just impressions in my heart. And I also am listening to what people are saying. And sometimes people come and ask questions. And this message hopefully will answer some questions. They won't answer the questions completely. But see, some people say, ask me questions like, is God different in the New Testament to what he is in the Old Testament? How come in the Old Testament God seems to get angry so much, but in the New Testament he doesn't? Who thinks that's a reasonable question? And I will drift there a little bit. I won't answer that completely. You know, people have all sorts of questions about the Bible, all sorts of questions about God. What is really going on? And so today, in the space of 30 minutes, I'm going to go through a quick tour of the whole Bible. Wow. In 30 minutes, kind of a whole Bible. The Bible's got 830,000 words. I'm about to share 3,000, amen. I actually count all my words. And so it is going to be shrunk down. But what in the world is going on? And I just pray that this brings freedom and liberty to us all today. And that our vision of Jesus will be bigger than what it is. Father, just enlarge our vision of you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So are you ready, everybody? Come on. And you know, I always need encouragement. I've been doing these Facebook broadcasts. Anybody see me on Facebook? And I keep making mistakes with the camera. And anyway, I'm persevering. I'm trying to create a positive presence. And I call it a dose of encouragement. But I'll be honest with you, I really struggle because I look at the phone on my computer and it doesn't give me any feedback. I don't even know if anybody's there. Half of the time, I don't even know if it's switched on. Amen. I just talk anyway. But at least in church, I can look at your faces and you can encourage. Amen. So encourage, let's be engaged in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's start at the beginning. Okay, you ready? And I do have notes, so I don't waffle or wonder. Here we go. Amen. When God created the heavens and the earth, he made everything bad.
No.
Come on, he made everything good. His final creation was to make our ancestors, who were literal people, their names were Adam and Eve. So early on the sixth day, God made Adam out of the dust of the ground, but later on the same day, God made Eve out of one of the ribs of Adam. Adam and Eve, this is important, were a reflection of Almighty God. And God built into Adam and Eve his divine image. The image of God is stamped upon every single human being, even today. In addition, on the sixth day, so the sixth day of creation was very important, this is what God commanded Adam and Eve. It's actually the first commandment. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, everybody, let's just stop. I just saw Linda Goldsmith here. Linda, welcome back. Welcome. And Ian, together. Could you stand? Just come on. You've interrupted my sermon. Come on. Welcome back from Kenya. And you came back safe and sound as we prayed. Amen. Amen. Don't interrupt again. Okay. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. And then this is really important. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So God elevated Adam and Eve, and he loved them deeply, and God still loves people deeply. And Adam and Eve were his joy and his delight. And in his delight, God released authority to Adam and Eve to govern the whole earth. He put them completely in charge. He gave them his delegated responsibility, delegated authority, so they could freely, with free will, rule the earth. Adam and Eve were like God. It's interesting that the devil came along later, I'm going to speak about in just a moment, and he said, if you do this, you'll be like God. The crazy thing was that they already were like God. However, in order for free will to be free will, God also gave them also another significant commandment. He told them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they disobeyed him, that choice would then cause them to be separated from God. And God called that potential event of separation from him death, because that's what death is, separation. So Adam and Eve, they were having a great time. They ruled and they reigned with full authority, and it was brilliant. It was great. But then this creature called Satan appeared on the scene in the form of a snake or a serpent. And he had no power. He had no authority on the earth because Adam and Eve had all of the authority. So because Adam and Eve had all of the authority, they should have commanded Satan to get out of there. But they didn't. They decided to listen to what he had to say. Now, from the Bible, we only know a little bit about Satan. We don't know a lot. The Bible doesn't answer all the questions. It answers some. We know that Satan was a former archangel. He is a spirit being. He was beautiful. And he once commanded great authority in the presence of God. That's what we know. His name was originally Lucifer. And he was in charge of the worship in heaven. But from the Bible, we know that he was lifted up in pride and sin found its origin in him. He began sin. He actually thought that he could replace Almighty God. And so Lucifer and his angelic followers lost their place of authority in heaven. He lost his place of authority in heaven. And Lucifer, who once worshipped God, now loathed and hated God. That's what we know. Now this same evil creature is in the Garden of Eden talking with Adam and Eve in the form of a snake. And they should have exercised their God-given authority over him. It was their responsibility to do so, not God's. He had released that responsibility to them. But instead, they allowed Satan to deceive them. And of course, we understand that they fell for his lies. He convinced them that God had tricked them, and he seduced them into disobeying God, and disobey they did. We all know this. And at that moment, Adam and Eve became sinners, and a chasm came between them and God, just as God said it would. And we have that same chasm today, separating humanity from Almighty God. That's why we're going to do this lesson this afternoon at 4 o'clock on how to bridge that chasm and win our friends to the Lord. Death and decay quickly came to the world and the universe, and creation became cursed, and even the world's ecology was affected. Everybody still with me?
Yeah.
But something else happened of profound significance in the Garden of Eden that everybody here, all of us, need to understand what really happened. Satan was after something else that day when he deceived Adam and Eve. It wasn't about the tree for Satan. He had something else in mind. And a lot of people don't understand this. Satan was still after his own kingdom. He wanted the authority. Nothing had changed. He still wanted to be God. And he still wants to be God today. And that's what motivates him. That's what drives him. And he got what he wanted from Adam and Eve when they shifted their faith from God's command to faith in Satan's lies. And they stupidly ate the forbidden fruit. When they did that, Satan then became the controlling authority in their lives instead of Almighty God being the controlling authority. And so the delegated authority that God had given to Adam and Eve landed in the hands of Satan. That delegated authority became his because it came with Adam and Eve. Everybody with me so far? And Satan became the new authority over the earth and over everything that lives in the earth. Satan was and he is an evil despot. And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, that is why there is so much pain and suffering in the world today. It's because of Satan and sin. But God's hands were tied. After all, he was the one who had given free will to Adam and Eve. Interestingly, God responded to Adam and Eve's betrayal by slaying an animal and using the skin of the animal to clothe Adam and Eve and cover their nakedness. And by that action, God was saying prophetically that he was going to one day somehow rescue people back to himself from death. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. Come on, come on. Amen. But Satan was now very much in charge of the world. Make no mistake about that at all. So the battle lines for humanity were drawn. And Satan was convinced he had it. Satan was convinced that even Almighty God could do nothing to rescue humanity from his grip. And he had, as far as he was concerned, he had God in checkmate. He had checkmated God. And so there was and is this huge tension within the human race even today. On the one hand, people began to do wicked things and exploit one another as we do today. But on the other hand, people also could be wonderful and kind and do things to help one another. People could create wonderful works of art, wonderful pieces of music. And yet, people could also create weapons of war. Good people could do bad things, and bad people could do good things. Sin and Satan brought out the worst in humanity, but God's image embedded in people would bring out the best in humanity. And that tension remains in the world today and explains the dual nature of people. Yes, there is good in people, but there's a lot of bad in people too. And as human history rolled on, the nations were birthed, and every now and then one would try and seek God. And that's how the various religions of the world began, because people are trying to seek after God. People knew there was something beyond themselves and weren't quite sure what it was. And everyone is born with eternity in their hearts. The Bible says that. And a desire to worship something bigger than themselves. And everyone knows there is right and there is wrong. Atheists really struggle with that, by the way. But everybody knows there is a right and there is a wrong. And Satan made sure he kept the religions of the world under his control as he craved the worship of humanity for himself. So the world was in a mess. Who knows, the world's still in a mess. Yes. Violence was the order of the day. Life was cheap. And Satan continually sneered at God as he ruthlessly ruled the earth. But some people look beyond the local religions and they call out to the Creator, reasoning from observing nature that the Creator was good and all-powerful. That's about all they knew. And God responded to their faith. Brothers and sisters, a spirit law that God always responds to is faith. Amen. Faith transcends all other laws of nature and the supernatural realm. And these few people scattered throughout history use their faith to break through the evil atmosphere of the earth and touch God in heaven. Because faith always pierces through the heavenlies and touches God. But such people back then worshiped God by faith, but with a little understanding of the ways of God. They didn't have the Bible like you have. They didn't have the Ten Commandments, many of them. They did not have church. They lived in brutal and violent times, where economies were dependent upon slavery and where life was cheap. And these ancient believers, and we've got to understand this, they were enmeshed in their cultures. And when God spoke to them, he often had to work through the cultures of the day. He did not mean that he was condoning the cultures of the day. Those ancient people did dumb things. They had slaves. They were given to violence. Some even had multiple wives and multiple mistresses. Women were treated badly. And all of that, of course, was just wrong, but they did not know any better. And the Bible says in the New Testament that God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. Instead, God responded to their faith in Him. Amen. Amen. And God always responds to faith. Yeah. Are you all still with me?
Yes.
And one of these people of faith, he was a real standout. God used Abraham, a flawed man, given to lying at times. A flawed man, but a man of faith in the Creator. And God used him, and God, the Creator used him, and God would use him to bring his presence into the dark world of Satan. God used Abraham to bring a mini invasion of the kingdom of God into the earth that Satan was ruling. A tiny invasion. And he did that by using Abraham to be the founder of the Jewish nation and the Jewish faith. I suspect that Satan really wasn't too bothered. I don't think he was overly concerned about the Jewish faith or the Jewish nation. In fact, I suspect that Satan in his pride was amused by God's attempt to bring his kingdom to earth through the Jewish people, through the Israelite people. After all, the Jewish nation was just so tiny, insignificant, and with a little global influence. It was almost a pathetic situation. And besides, the Jewish faith was founded on a covenant with God that required the Jewish people, the Israelite people, to behave themselves and be good in order for God to bless them. But the Jewish people were hopeless at being good, just like Australians are hopeless at being good. They were compulsive sinners, like all of humanity. So God couldn't bless them very much. And so Satan was convinced that he could contain and manage God's mini invasion. Satan had it all together, so he thought. And that is what the Old Testament appears to be all about. It appears to be about God trying to bring salvation, mercy, and grace to people. But God's plans appear to be continually thwarted on every attempt by people's own sin and by Satan. It actually became so bad in the Old Testament, the kingdom of God has shrunk down so much, that the old prophet Elijah actually thought he was the only one left who belonged to God. I'm it. But God said he still had 7,000 others who hadn't bowed the knee to Baal.
Amen.
The Old Testament has many great highlights. There are many glimpses of the grace and mercy of God. But it also contains many sad times and violent times. And standing behind all of these many setbacks of God's people is Satan himself sneering at Almighty God. Sneering at the Jewish people. Sneering at the Jewish faith. Sneering at the continual suffering of mankind. Everybody still with me?
Yes.
It's going to get better. Amen. But God. Satan's sneering. I'm trying to do a sneer. I look a little stupid, aren't I? But God so loved the world. But God knew, actually, ladies and gentlemen, exactly what he was doing. That's a good place to say hallelujah. He knew that pride was Satan's primary weakness. And his pride would blind him to what God was really doing. While the Jewish faith and Jewish people was a disappointment, which God always knew it would be and which he used, Satan failed to notice the scarlet thread that was weaved through the Old Testament. Some of you have never even heard of the scarlet thread. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the scarlet thread. It first began when God slew the animal and clothed Adam and Eve with its skin. That was the start of the scarlet thread. It embedded within the religious ceremonies and sacrifices of the Jews was this scarlet thread. in the blessings of God and in the prophetic proclamations by the prophets, there was this scarlet thread. Last week we spoke about Job. In the book of Job, there was this scarlet thread. Some of you didn't pick it up last week. I know my Redeemer. The design of the temple and the manner of worship developed by King David were all reflections of the scarlet thread. While the Jewish covenant was weak in saving people from their sins, it secretly but powerfully contained within itself the scarlet thread. Behind the violence of the Old Testament, behind the judgments of God, behind the blessings of God, behind the great acts of faith and bravery throughout the Old Testament, there is the scarlet thread. And real life church, ladies and gentlemen, the Old Testament's primary theme is the scarlet thread. It's the real theme behind all the other themes. There's lots of themes. The primary theme is the scarlet thread. And the scarlet thread is the bloodline of redemption that weaves its way from that first slain animal in the Garden of Eden, right through the Jewish religion, right through the entire Old Testament, and it finds its fulfillment in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Come on, praise God. You're going to be thinking about the scarlet thread this week. Amen. Amen. Jesus shed his blood. We've celebrated that, which means when he says he shed his blood, he means he gave his life. That's what's implied. He shed his blood to provide a way of escape from the evil despot, Satan himself. Jesus gave his life so that we could have the life that had been lost in the Garden of Eden, and so we could then be rescued from the tyranny of the devil. Everybody with me so far? But here's the thing. Satan missed it. He absolutely missed it. He doesn't know everything. Satan doesn't know everything. He missed it. He completely missed the scarlet thread. Satan himself, this is how ridiculous it is. Satan actually could quote the Old Testament, and yet he never saw the scarlet thread. He never saw the theme behind the themes. He never realized that God would send his son into the world to save lost sinners. Satan was completely outsmarted by Almighty God. See, when Jesus came into the world, Satan knew. He knew Jesus is up to something in order to win back humanity. He knew he was up to something. But Satan actually had no idea what he was up to. Didn't know how he was going to do it. So when he tried to tempt Jesus, Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And then Satan said to Jesus, "I will give it all to you if you kneel down and worship me." It's actually the same temptation that we find in Genesis chapter 3. See, Satan still wanted to be God. Still wanted to be God. And he's trying to trick Jesus. And Jesus, interestingly, never argued with him. He never argued with Satan's claim to his authority over the world. Never argued with him. But Jesus was not like the first Adam who was deceived. Instead, he did what Adam should originally have done. He said to Satan, and not so politely either, "Get out of here, devil! Get out of here, Satan! For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only."
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Satan just couldn't figure out what was going on. What was Jesus up to? "Oh, there's only one thing I can do," he thought. And so Satan decided to kill Jesus. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was arrested. The crowds rejected him, and the brutal Romans did the deed and crucified Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ hung on the cross and he died. And Satan was behind the murder of Jesus Christ. And Satan stood there again and he sneered. Anybody good at sneering? He sneered at God. He sneered at God because he has successfully repelled another invasion attempt by the Almighty. And he had killed the Son of God in the process as well. Yippee. But within a short space of time, Satan became aware that something was not right. There were rumblings going on in the realm of the spirit and he couldn't put his finger upon it. No one actually knows the exact moment when Satan realized that he made the biggest blunder of all eternity. But when he understood what he had done, unimaginable terror struck his black heart. Oops. You see, Satan had all authority over the world. Jesus did not argue with that. If Satan wanted someone to die early, then they died early. He had authority to do that. Satan had the keys of death and hell, or Hades and the grave. In his prideful madness, he then went ahead and he killed Jesus Christ. And that was Satan's mistake. He blundered big time. The problem for Satan was that Jesus Christ was not of this world. Jesus was sent from the outside into humanity. Therefore, Satan had no legal right to even have laid a finger on Jesus Christ. Satan forgot that Jesus had not bowed his knee to him. Satan forgot that Jesus had cast out demons and devils wherever he went. Satan got confused. He forgot that Jesus was God himself. His pride blinded him, and so he committed the most odious crime of all eternity by striking at Almighty God, and then divine judgment fell upon him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Satan failed to see the scarlet thread that pointed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Concerning the scarlet thread, the Bible says this: but the rulers, that's the devil and his mates, the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. What a blunder! So on the third day, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And Jesus declared, I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. Praise the Lord. And Jesus says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. I can imagine God leaning in to the face of Satan and whispering, checkmate. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Come on, praise God. Come on, praise the Lord. And so, Satan has been judged. He is headed for the lake of fire, and there is no escape. His time is short. He has a splitting headache. The clock is ticking. He's lost his, now this is important, he's lost his legal right to rule the earth. He's lost his legal right to rule the earth, and to God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Now, I nearly finished, but I just want to finish with this. But the story's not over yet.
Right.
People are still sinners. And Jesus did not just come back to defeat Satan. Jesus came back, and he came into the world so he also could win back willing sinners to himself. That's what's the whole point. To win the lost, to close the chasm, to be have fellowship restored. Because God loves people.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world.
He gave his one and only son.
Mate, we've had all the versions going on there, praise God. Nonetheless, Satan spends his time on death row by manipulating and exploiting the lives of people who enjoy darkness more than they enjoy the light. And the truth is, Satan could leave the world today and people would still be hurting and exploiting one another. However, Satan is still trying to have his own kingdom. He's still trying to do it. And he's ruling over people who blindly follow him. That's why the New Testament teaches us in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. And 1 John 5 verse 19 says, we know that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. When bad things happen in the world today, we must stop blaming God.
Amen.
People who will not repent of their sins are still being exploited by Satan. However, when someone calls on the name of the Lord, when someone calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and becomes united to Jesus, that person then shifts from the dominion of Satan and they shift into the growing kingdom of God. You're either in the dominion of Satan or you're in the kingdom of God. There's no in between because I'm in my own kingdom. No, you're not. No, you're either in the dominion of Satan or you're in the kingdom of God. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And God gives them the gift of forgiveness for their sins. And God gives them the gift of righteousness. And relationship with God becomes restored. And here's a clincher. Satan has no authority over people who belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't have to be afraid of the dark. You don't have to be afraid of the boogeyman. Where you walk, God walks with you. On the contrary, the authority now lies with God's people. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Where you walk, God walks with you. Amen. Resist the devil, the Bible says. Resist the devil and he will hang around you. No, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. And these miraculous signs will accompany them who believe. They will cast out demons.
Yes.
You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet in Jesus' name. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, neither angels or demons, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm quoting these scriptures because we've got to eliminate our stinking thinking. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You got to eliminate your stinking thinking. Real life church, you got to get rid of stinking thinking. See, Satan is a defeated liar and deceiver. I'll say it again. He's a defeated liar and deceiver. He lies to you about so much, but he is a defeated liar and deceiver. Therefore, let's stop being a doormat for the devil.
Amen.
I hate being a doormat for the devil. Let's quit tolerating his rubbish in our lives and in our families. There's no need to be afraid of the devil because you belong to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty Conqueror himself. And it's time to use our authority in Christ and pronounce the favor of God over our families, over our communities, and even over our own lives. Amen. You are who God says you are, not what the devil says you are. It's time to pull off the labels that the devil stuck on you through people who you've engaged in life. Pull the labels off. It's now time to stick the new labels that God's given you. Amen.
Amen.
It's time to wake up. Come on, church. Time to wake up. And use the name of Jesus in our prayers and spiritual warfare, casting out the enemy. You know, there's a place for intercession is really important, but so often our prayers are, oh, please Jesus, please Jesus, please Jesus. I get all of that. I understand that. But there's sometimes a time where we just need to pull our socks up and be a bit more assertive and stand upon God's word and use the name of Jesus to cast out the wicked one. No more nice guy. And when it comes to the realm of the spirit, devil, get out of my family. Devil, get out of my son's life. Devil, get out of my daughter's life. I'm not mucking around. Taking authority in Jesus' name. It's time to turn the world upside down. And understand what I'm saying now? It's time to turn the world upside down by us being holy troublemakers.
That's right.
Some of you are troublemakers already. Holy troublemakers who cause havoc for the devil.
Yes.
You know, where the devil goes, oh no, Fritz is up again. Oh, that troublemaker. Maybe said about you and me, us together, that they have defeated Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So in conclusion, serious conclusion, remember the scarlet thread. And remember, whom the Son sets free
is
free indeed. What in the world is going on? The battle for you, for humanity, is what's been going on, and we win in Jesus' name. Come on, let's stand our feet. Come on, everybody.